prayer is essential to our walk with God. The meaning of prayer is, first of all, considering a definition, prayer is a solemn and humble approach to divinity in word or thought, usually involving beseeching, petition, confession, praise, or thanksgiving, according to Webster's Third International Dictionary. And prayer is certainly a time of fellowship. It's a specific time of fellowship with God. It involves, first of all, speaking to God in words and thoughts, and then also, very importantly, listening to God. And we all need to work on that area of listening quietly to God. And then it's also a continual relationship. Prayer continues on and on as we maintain constant contact with God. The Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonian church, "Pray without ceasing." And there are different kinds of prayer, and we already mentioned those according to what Webster says. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, that I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all. So Paul pretty much lines up with Webster, although he was several thousand years earlier in time. And prayer is all of those things. General prayer, supplication is intense beseeching of God, intercession as we go to God on behalf of others, and then, of course, abundant thanksgiving. And let's talk about each category. Supplications, earnest petitions for needs. And we see an example of that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 18. Paul is involved with this matter of supplication, again, very intense kind of prayer. And in this supplication, he gives us a form of what it should be like in our lives, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's an earnestness, there's a perseverance, there's an intensity in this. Now, prayers would be a general term for prayer, both private or public. Intercession, as we say, is to plead in the interest of others and to do it boldly. Jesus, of course, intercedes with the Father for us, and we are to go to God on behalf of others as well. And then giving of thanks. Paul said again to the Thessalonian church, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This includes unpleasant experiences, for all things are used by God for our growth. Now, we're not going to say thank you, Lord, for this horrible experience, but thank you, Lord, that you're seeing me through this horrible experience, and I'm going to grow from it and be stronger because of it. We should thank God for hearing and also answering our prayers. And then praise. Praise is worship, adoration, approval. David said in Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And then there's song. Songs are forms of prayer and praise and worship. David said, "Come before his presence with singing," in Psalm 100, verse 2. Then we have praying in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit as we are led by the Spirit, and I suppose all prayer really should be in the Spirit in that sense, in the sense that it's led by the Holy Spirit. It takes place in two forms. First of all, in our known language. As we pray in our known language, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to pray about certain people or certain things. And then that unknown language, Paul talks about this, as believers, we pray and praise in our unknown language of tongues. And Paul covers this in 1 Corinthians 14, and that whole chapter is dealing with tongues and prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, he makes this distinction, which is so important. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, small s, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Praying and singing with the Spirit here means, as led by the Holy Spirit, my spiritual man prays in the unknown tongue, the unknown language that God has given me. So we pray in our own language. For most of us, that's English, and certainly in tongues as well. And then we have confession. So confession is unconfessed sin being brought forth and confessed. It's important to know that unconfessed sin will hinder our fellowship with God and our prayers. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." God promises us in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So, again, these are various forms of prayer. We have supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, praise, song, praying in the Spirit, both in our known language and, of course, in tongues, and then confession. What about our attitudes in prayer? It's important to have the right attitude in prayer. An improper attitude can affect the outcome of our prayers. First, there's faith. Faith is believing in God's promises. God gives faith, and we exercise it when we pray. Without faith, prayers are not going to be answered. James and Hebrews tell us about the importance of faith, and Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith receives even before the results are realized. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews says in chapter 11 and verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. We already have it, even though it does not exist in the tangible sense. So faith is a very important attitude in prayer. And then humility. Pride is going to hinder answered prayer, and this is illustrated in the parable of the proud Pharisee and the humble tax collector. You remember that Pharisee who thanked God that he was not like that humble tax collector, a sinner in his own mind, he said. Then boldness. Of course, we are to approach God with confidence and not arrogance. We need to come to the throne of God boldly. And submission. We must submit to God's will and how He will answer our prayers, and He promises to answer only those prayers which are according to His will. God's Word reveals His will in many areas. In other areas, we should ask Him for His will, knowing He will reveal it. And John tells us the best way to know we're praying in the will of God is to abide in the Lord Jesus. As the branch abides in the vine, we are to abide in the Lord, and we will know that we are in His will. Then we need the attitude of joyfulness. As we talk with our Father, we should be joyful, not depressed. David said, "In your presence is fullness of joy," in Psalm 16:11. And then finally, we need persistence. Jesus said, "Men always ought to pray and not lose heart." That's in Luke 18:1. He then gave the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge to teach that persistence in prayer is valuable. Persistence is necessary when the Spirit leads or when faith is not yet complete. So these are the attitudes that we need in prayer. An attitude of faith, humility, boldness, submission, joyfulness, and persistence. Prayer is vital for our walk with God. And the Lord Jesus thought so much of it that He gave us a model of prayer. And in this model of prayer, He taught us some of the essentials of prayer. And I want to go through this. And I want to give credit to a little booklet that I read many, many years ago called Alone with God, written by Dudley Hall. And in that little booklet, he talks about how to take this prayer and expand it to various people and elements in our lives. And we'll go through that. We all know the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to read it through and then we'll break it down. Our Father in heaven, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's begin with the words, Our Father in heaven. Notice Jesus opens with praise to God. It's good to get our eyes on God, not our problem. The more we can concentrate on God and how great He is, the greater He'll become in our minds and the smaller our problem will become. If we start right off with the problem, then that's all we can see and experience. Our Father. And so we approach God as Father, for we are His children, and our prayers are addressed to the Father, of course, in Jesus' name. Jesus told us to do that. Our Father in heaven. Let's reflect on God's position and God's power. He is in heaven and He sees everything. He has all power. Hallowed be your name. Praise God's name as hallowed, holy, to be honored. Ask that His name be honored in the lives of you and others. For example, Lord, be hallowed in my heart. Reveal yourself to me today. In the hearts of my family members, make my family an example of heaven's fellowship. Hallow your name, Lord, in my church. Make my church function as the true body of Christ. And then expand it to include your friends, the nation, the world. Then, your kingdom come. Pray in intercession for God to establish His kingdom and His rule on earth during the millennium, in the hearts of people today. For example, Lord, your kingdom come in my heart. Control my thoughts and attitudes. In my life, control my decisions, actions, and reactions. In my family, let my family evidence God's kingdom. In my church, let my church be ruled by your kingdom principles and love, and then expand it to others in your nation, your state, in place of work, place of recreation. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray in submission for God to reveal and accomplish His will to the same extent on earth as He does in heaven. For example, Lord, your will be done, and what is your will? What is your will in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my church? And then, of course, expand it to others. And how do you want your will accomplished, Lord? In my heart, in my life, in my family, in my church, and then expand it to others. And then he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. Now we petition God to meet our daily needs. Notice how long it took to get to that point. We started off by talking about God, our Father in heaven. We praised Him, hallowed be your name. We acknowledged His greatness and His priorities. And we said, Lord, your kingdom come. And then your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we've acknowledged God, we've praised Him, we've asked for His will to be done. Now we get to our needs. And we've got the priorities right. We've put Him first and ourselves second. Now we petition God to meet the daily needs. For example, my personal needs, my family's needs, my church's needs. And then we expand it to include others' needs as well. My nation, my state, my school district, on and on. Next we have, forgive us our debts. Sins are moral and spiritual debts to God's righteousness, and so we daily need to confess the sins the Holy Spirit reveals to us and then claim His forgiveness. So, Lord, forgive us our debts, and we can expand that to others, my family, my church, my nation, as we forgive our debtors, and we'll be forgiven by God only if we forgive others. We need to prevent the root of bitterness from springing up and choking our spiritual life, and so we need to ask God to reveal the people who have hurt us, and then we need to forgive them in our hearts. Remember, unforgiveness is a sin, and we need to confess and forsake it. Lord, show me who my debtors are and give me the strength and the ability to forgive them and to love them. And if I can't love them, Lord, then you love them through me, and I give you permission to do so. And do not lead us into temptation. Now, we know that God does not tempt us. We need to pray that he not let us get out of his will into areas of stumbling. He won't lead me into trouble, but left on my own, I'll wander off into trouble for sure. Pray for God's guidance from temptation to sin and consequent defeat and then into victory. For example, Lord, do not lead me into temptation or my family or my church family or my Christian friends or my nation, this world, but deliver us from the evil one. Pray for God's protection from the devil, who, according to 1 Peter 5:8, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so, Lord, deliver me from the evil one, my family, my church family, my Christian friends, and then expand it to Joe around the corner and Sally across the street. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So again, we're back to praise. We are closing our prayer as we opened it with praise. Yours is the kingdom. Acknowledge God as king over all and ask him to be king in your life, in the lives of members of your family and your church and on and on. Yours is the power. Acknowledge God's infinite power. And again, Lord, show your power in my life today and let others see your power, not mine, and in my family members, my brother, my sister. Yours is the glory. Acknowledge God's glory. All praise, honor, and adoration are due him for who he is and what he does. Lord, may people be seeing your glory in me. May you be glorified in my words, in my actions, in my deeds, in all that I do this day, and in the lives of friends and loved ones. In the last word, forever. Acknowledge God's eternal existence. He is unchanging and faithful, and he can be trusted completely. Now, I want to say a word about examples of prayer. The Bible contains many, many instructive, spiritually deepening prayers. And as we read those prayers and really understand them, we can, in a sense, make them our own and become deeper in our prayer lives. Yes, God wants us to pray for our stubbed toe and our kitty cat and our puppy dog, but he also wants us to deepen our prayer lives for deeper matters and to expand them beyond ourselves and our immediate family. In the Old Testament, I'd like to just recommend some prayers to you. Read Abraham's prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 18, verses 22 and 23. Nehemiah's prayer for the Jews is wonderful. You'll find it in the first chapter of Nehemiah, verses 4 through 11. Hezekiah's prayer for deliverance in 2 Kings 19, verses 15 through 19, and then Daniel's prayer for the Jews in Daniel 9, verses 3 through 19. Oh, there are so many prayers in the New Testament. Jesus' prayer for the church is so famous, John 17, verses 1 to 26. The disciples' prayer for boldness in Acts 4, 24. Paul's prayers, oh, they're throughout Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Thessalonians and Timothy. Finally, the benefits of prayer. Prayer will first of all bring answers. Obviously, we pray because God answers prayer. We also find that prayer brings peace. As we pray about a matter, we lay the matter on his altar and receive a peace of mind about it. Prayer brings fellowship. As we pray, we grow in fellowship with the Lord. We come to know him and his voice better. And then finally, prayer brings service. God desires to work in and through us to accomplish his purposes. And through prayer, we receive direction and strength to be his instruments in carrying out his will. Now may the Lord bless you abundantly as you embark upon a more powerful and more effective prayer life, which will change your life, the lives of others, and bring great glory to God. In Jesus' name, Amen.